adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, digs men's specialist. Oh, a couple things to talk about before we get started tonight. No guest. Oh, thank Christ. Less work for me. Watch the debate out here. I know it's not so interesting to people in other parts of the country, but everyone looked okay. Cruz Bustamante just sort of, he didn't look like anything. But Arianna Huffington just, I understand why her husband went gay, by the way. And I think she made him blow guys. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, what a pain in the ass. Nobody's more impressed with herself, by the way, than her. Jesus Christ. You take a woman and give her half a sense of humor and she can't get over it. And it's just same old sort of worn platitude she spills out. Oh, she's a pain in the ass. And Arnold did. I thought Arnold did surprisingly well. He acquitted himself well. And Tom McClintock, I think, was probably the best. And then, you know, the Green Party guy, ironically, the Green Party people always seem more angry than everybody else. Right. I don't know what it is that you think a guy who's chained himself to a tree or who loves wildlife, loves everything, doesn't want to hurt anything, these guys always seem to be the most pissed.
Well, you'd be pissed, too, if you could see what the world was doing to... Okay, when reality is they're pissed because somebody beat the crap out of them, and then they're going to find people to do that to them in real life.
Right. I had another one of my favorite things, which is Here, anyone who listens to the show know I like to drive. I like to keep a certain momentum when I drive.
And 85 miles an hour, to be exact.
Well, yeah. I live up in a canyon, and I've done a little research. If I get trapped behind someone who's not moving too good down that canyon, wow, it is a big difference in time from the top of the canyon to the bottom of the canyon. And tonight, I got behind some guy. I was in a truck, and he was going 17, 18 miles an hour, and he was hitting the brakes a lot, and it kind of looked like he was looking for an address or something. So when the intersection opened up at the stop sign, big three-way sort of intersection, I just slid right past him and hauled ass down the hill. Well, then, naturally and ironically, I'm seeing his headlights. It's like dual. I'm seeing his headlights right on me, and I'm doing like 42, 43 miles an hour. So the guy who was going 16, 17 miles an hour is now on me.
Yeah.
And I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, you want to go?
Yeah.
You want to go? And I'm thinking the same thing when I'm behind him,
yes.
But in a little with a different inflection, which is, I want to go. Not, you want to go? No, I'd like to go.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I'd like to go to work. That's right. I don't want to go. I want to go. Mm. You understand? And listen, everybody. Nothing personal. It's like nothing personal if you're walking down the sidewalk and you do a little window shopping.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in Manhattan. You're out front of FAO Schwartz. You're just strolling around. You're looking in the window. But there's a guy behind you. He's going to work. He's running late. He's got a meeting. He's just going to go. He's going to hustle past you, right?
So this guy stayed on your ass the whole time?
No. He rode my ass for a while, and then when we came to the stop sign, he came right up on me and then whipped around and blew through the stop sign and blew right in front of me again. Yeah, hey, you want to go? Yeah, I want to go!
Oh,
I just thought, is there a point that you're proving when you drive 11 miles an hour and someone goes around you? And I'm not honking horns or swerving or anything. I'd do it. I'm a church mouse.
I just slide right around. If somebody else does something that gets them ahead without slowing you down or even breaking your stride in any way, what do you care?
I don't care. I don't know. Did I shame you into letting you know you were driving sub 20 mile an hour speeds?
That's crazy.
I'm just going to work, buddy. And listen, if you were going an acceptable speed, I'd be behind you all the way, cheering you on. All right, it's good times. All right, Drew, what do we want to talk about? Oh, we want to talk about we had a great conversation, an enlightening conversation last night.
It started with Chris, actually.
It started with engineer Chris. As you know, I try not to speak to the staff. And listen, let me just explain what goes on around here. Everybody around here thinks I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want everyone around here to think I'm an asshole.
But it's okay that they do.
But it's completely okay.
Right.
Because, and the reason I think I'm an asshole is because I say to people stuff like, hey, go do that, or go do your job, or go get my coffee, or how come we have to talk again about this? Right?
Right.
That's what I say.
Right.
And maybe that makes me an asshole, maybe it doesn't. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all one way or the other. Again, if it just comes down to a coin toss, I would like everyone
to
like me.
Get to the conversation, because I can't, it's so funny.
So, anyway, so it's fine. And I come also, I spend too much time during the day at in the world of TV where there's a hierarchy and there's bosses.
A serious hierarchy, a serious one.
Right.
Very, very serious. I mean, it's a militaristic
thing. Yeah, if this was TV, phone screener, Tara, don't call me Tara, goddamn, would have been fired years ago. Like two years before she started, she would have been gone.
You're so lucky she's not here right now because she'd be so pissed.
I don't care. Lauren would be gone. Ann would be gone. Everyone would be gone. I might be gone.
That's okay, yeah.
Everyone would be fired except for Chris over here.
Anderson would
be on probation.
Anderson would be okay.
Anderson would probably be around. Yeah. Probably be around.
Okay. All right, okay. So.
But everyone else would be fired.
So.
Fine. It's not TV. It's radio. I understand that. So, anyway, I don't know. It was the end of the show last night, and I was asking new engineer Chris over here at K-Rock, what do you want to get into? You want to be on the air? You want to be behind the scenes? You want to work the board the rest of his life? And he said, no, I want to get behind the mic. I want to get on the air. Right, Chris? Yes, he's nodding his head. Where did he learn that from you, the head nod?
Yeah, of course. He's watching carefully.
Dr. Drew School of Radio. Nod the head. So I said, well, all right, so you want to get on the air. So I said, well, Chris, what have you learned from watching Drew and I work over the last couple months over here? Have you picked up any tips? Have you learned anything? And he said...
Thoughtfully, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, thought for a second.
He said, well, I learned it's not good to prepare.
Right. And you can say anything.
You can say anything.
That's it.
And now he said you shouldn't look on the internet before the show.
That's right.
Which you could do. You've never seen me do it. That doesn't mean you couldn't do it. But so Chris has picked up really zero preparation.
and be yourself. We finally decided.
Be yourself. I had to kind of feed him that one.
But he did pick up on that one.
And I think that's a valuable lesson he learned. And then anyway, just for kicks, I asked junior producer Lauren what she's picked up from working, what she's gleaned from working with the likes of Drew and myself. The show has won syndicated show of the year on more than one occasion. She must have picked up something. So it's been a couple of years. So I said, what have you learned from working with us? And Lauren said, well, let's see, what'd she start with? She started with...
You leave immediately.
Yeah, you don't have to work too hard. Right. Oh yeah, no
preparation,
zero preparation.
You order people around.
You get to boss people around. You get big bucks.
It's all who you know.
It's who you know and who you're connected to.
And random of life events, luck.
Yeah, it's luck. It's who you know. You get to talk about whatever you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk about it. No one really cares. You get big bucks. You boss people
no
around.
No training, no preparation.
And, you don't have to be too educated.
Yeah, right, no education.
I think she started with low education.
And you make lots of money.
Yeah, all right. So, beats. Tons of money. No education or little education.
No education.
You get to boss people around. You don't have to prepare.
You leave immediately. Whatever you do doesn't matter. That's right.
And if you did get lucky enough to get in the position where you were actually behind the mic, it would just be a complete chance.
Random event. And then once you're there.
Cosmic coin toss.
But then once you're there, it doesn't matter what you say. Remember that?
It's luck and who you know as far as how you got there. And then once you're there, you're just there
until something
happens.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Well, say the same thing Chris said. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah, but, yeah. Right. All right. I see. Keep your eyes open. You learn something, you see? All right. Very valuable life lessons that you should take with you wherever you go, Lauren. Wherever you go.
By the way, always remember,
no matter where anybody is, it's always luck and it's always who they know.
But it's always everybody. It's especially a good policy to sort of point that out to your bosses.
Right.
Yeah, that's an extra good
It's always luck and it's always who you know. Like, for instance, anyone that knows me knows my dad runs radio.
Of course.
He's...
Well, you know, you made the good fortune of meeting Jimmy.
I met Jimmy, that's right. Right. He was in charge over here when I met him.
Dr. Drew's a born sound physician.
Anderson, you were going to ring in with some ideas, too, I heard you.
No, I just wanted to tell you that Lauren's a little drunk right now, too. That's kind of
funny. Oh, is that? Oh, well, she's over there smiling and giving thumbs up to all these quasi-totally insulting comments you made.
You got to be able to drink in order to mask the pain of the sort of random universe we have where, for some reason, some people hold a position of power and get the big bucks, and for other completely random reasons, other people don't. I mean, you got to drink.
How else would you deal with it?
I don't know.
It's all
random. Yeah. All right.
Now, you had a family that supported you and gave you breaks every step of the way.
My dad owns Westwood One. You know him. You know my dad. It's a big wheel. He made a few phone calls, pulled a few strings. I mean, I remember as a kid hanging out with Casey Kasem and Rick Dees. It was great. It's huge. You know me, Drew. Well, I mean, we knew each other for years. Oh, we go to this radio parties. I'd see you at the radio parties.
Might see the secret here.
Yeah.
Wait, don't hang up on Steve.
Secret handshake. Yeah, all those backdoor dealings, sure.
So to speak.
Sure. It, for me, I was set from high school. I mean, I was destined to do this. And, by the way, no one can ever fire me. I can never be fired.
Well, because there's no assessment process. It doesn't matter
what you say. I say what I want, do what I want. That's right. That's right. When the contracts come up, Drew, it's not based on anything.
Nothing.
Just luck.
Random.
All right. Well, let's hope the lucky streak keeps a rolling,
It'd be
buddy.
Great.
All right.
I hope so.
Danny, I don't know why we bother talking. Let's just keep our fingers crossed. I hope it works out.
Oh, my goodness.
Keep that lucky streak alive, Danny.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
You're 19.
Now, we were talking to Danny last night.
Yeah.
And you were telling us how you had gotten into this adult industry. And
exactly.
That your family and friends were having a problem with it.
Yes.
So go ahead. Give us a story.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of hard because, you know, like one day you're, you know, going along fine, you know, whatever. And then the next day you're starting to do this stuff and you're like, oh, crap, how do I bring this up to people? And then the look on their faces after you tell them, it's like,
let's explore a little bit. If you know they're going to react badly to this, why bring it up?
Well, because it's like, it comes in, like, the lies of, like, oh, why I'm always going, you know, out, you know, down to L.A. and, you know, the places that I need to go filming. And they're like, well, why do you keep going down there?
Who's that?
Why can't
I
come with
you? By the way, Drew,
you?
Good lucky question, by the way.
Did I ask that?
You asked that. You asked why she brings it up. And first I thought
that's
that
totally
was...
totally random.
I thought it was a good question. And
random.
Then I was like, oh, no, that was luck. That was lucky. Your luck's going to run out one day, my friend. They'll strip that doctor degree right away from you. You're not going to have that anymore. It'll be someone else's turn. Danny?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, baby doll.
Oh,
so,
fine.
All right. So,
who are they?
Who are you telling? Your friends?
Who is it that's giving you hassles about where you're going?
Well, I also work a regular daytime, like, 9-to-5 type of job. Mm. And, you know, I mean... It's kind of hard because now, you know, I mean, I'm calling out a little more. My availability is changing. Everybody, you know, kind of wants to know what's going on. And
all right, hold on.
All right.
You sound like you like the idea that they want to know what's going
chaos.
On.
Yeah.
What's your daytime job?
I work at a coffee place.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a boyfriend?
Not anymore. I just got out of a really serious relationship.
How many movies have you made total?
Total, I've done 4 so far.
Mm-hmm. And what's the plan? Is there a number you want to stop at? You want to keep going till you're 25? What do you want to do?
I'm just trying to save up some money right now, you know? I mean,
And by the way, it's not as though you are running out downtown every day or even once a week. You've done it 4 times. People would not pick up on you. You know what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. You want to tell people for some reason.
Well, no. I mean, it's only been a month, and I mean, we've only shot 4 films, but I mean, I've gone down there like more than 4 times. You know what I mean?
Five times.
For interviews and, you know, to try to get these things going down. And
sure,
so to speak.
So
talk about unlucky, by the way, having to do porn when you could be doing radio.
Well, that's the randomness of life.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the wrong business. What can I say?
You could end up in gay porn, Adam. That's where you could be headed. It's
I
random.
Could?
It's random.
Oh, man. I got to knock on wood, boy.
Thankful.
I could be doing gay porn tomorrow. We don't know. Hey, Danny?
Uh-huh.
No, because I know people.
They could get you out of it or keep you here. That's right.
That's how I got in. Remember how I got in? You know my dad. Remember him? Big wheel.
And your uncle? Oh,
big wheel. You see him around the station.
All the time.
Kicking ass and taking names.
Here's a little reality tidbit. Hey, you and I have been in the air 10 years?
Yeah, 9 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Met your dad for the first time at Kimmel Show 2 weeks ago.
He's so busy running radio.
And if you had said, okay, look across this audience of 500 people and tell me who the person that's least likely to be Adam Carolla's father, that's the man I would have picked.
He's so busy pulling strings and working backdoor deals for me. You know my family.
Yeah, of course.
I can't. They're all over me. Hey, Danny.
Uh-huh.
We think you should probably stop doing these movies before you build up too big a resume.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. You're 19. And as a girl, you're stupid. As a guy, you're stupid at 19. As a girl, you're practically retarded.
Okay? Yeah, this is a very persuasive argument.
Thank you. You're not going to be happy about this a few years from now. You're going to start a family, have some kids, husband, all that stuff. It's not going to work.
Well, I'm actually going to be... Oh, she's out.
All right,
even more concerned. The fact that she is gratified by this and doesn't see anything, is confused by other people to react, and yet is compelled to create that chaos.
Yeah.
That's a bad series of signs. Mm. And she needs a little work with boundaries and regulation, and undoubtedly some trauma in her background.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever people want to do to solve their problems, it's not a long-term solution.
It's all luck,
anyway.
Steve.
Yes.
You're 17.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, every time that me and my girlfriend have sex, she's right about to reach an orgasm, and right when it happens, she's about to, and it just goes away completely, and she doesn't have the feeling anymore. And I want to know if it's related to birth control or not, or something
no.
like that.
Could be.
Mm?
Could be.
Mm?
It does affect orgasm function, but strangely enough, Steve asked a good question that's bogus.
Oh, really?
Do you get that feeling?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out how old junior producer Lauren was. I was trying to figure out what I was doing when I was her age.
But it's a good question, Steve. Yes, it could. Particularly if some women on the progestational agents, the ones that have more progesterone, tend to get shut down that way. Some women actually are more active with the progesterone, but what you're describing can be from the birth control pill, or it could be just her. You know, so a teenager often has these kinds of experiences. A woman... as they sort of come into their own with their orgasmic function, it takes a while.
Also, if you're screwed with a little and you don't want to give it up, it gets weird.
Well, there's that thing, too.
It's like they can't hand it over at the very last second. It's like they put the ad in the paper, but then when the guy comes to pick up the car, and it's like, I can't throw the keys to him.
Well, the reason I don't believe the question is the affect wasn't there, but also the circumstances weren't specific enough.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Steve?
Good question.
Is she have any problems with her dad, or has she ever got abused? Is there any problems like that?
No, not like that. I mean, we've been going out for 2 years, and now I don't think she's had a single orgasm, but she gets, like, pretty loud, and it just doesn't happen. And
yeah, pretty loud. What year were you born?
86.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Touché.
No, I get his age is right. It's just the
Just checking. Well, what are you going to ask him? What's the inside of a woman feel like?
No, I'm just, I don't, just
well,
interesting.
It's kind of sandy, like a cat's tongue. Ah, busted! Yeah.
Well, here, okay, let me add him.
You want to
add him?
Lauren, right. How old are you? Show me.
Two. 23.
All right, 23.
It's random that she survived that long.
Yeah, wow. Do you want to know what I was doing when I was 23?
Carpets.
Nah, I was done cleaning carpets.
Ditches.
Just pulling asbestos out of condemned houses.
That's good times.
Do I have car insurance?
No. Do you have a car?
I had a beat up turn. I had a motorcycle.
Well, you got
with
that
a bald
job
tire
because
out.
Of who you knew.
Yeah, you don't have to know anyone to get that job. All right.
Steve.
Yeah.
What are you doing to her when she almost climaxes?
Well, sometimes I go down on her, and she's about ready to get to that point, and it just...
See, no, you've never gone down on a chick. you've never been in a
See
chick.
See what I'm saying?
You've never been there.
Steve, good question, though. I got a hand to you.
Yeah, nice try, buddy.
You admit it, right?
I'm not lying. I'm serious. We need help on this. She's right here, and we need help.
Put her on the phone.
She wants to talk, but she's too afraid. Come here.
Come here, man.
Just say hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Is what's, does
Steve.
What Steve says, is that true?
Yeah.
He's not just putting you up to this?
Huh?
No, not at all. We just got done.
Okay. You just got done. Okay.
Just got done.
Fantastic.
All right.
Did you rinse out, or is it the same talking to us with the same tongue you used on her?
And what's the girl's name?
Jennifer.
Oh, listen, Drew.
Jennifer.
Is that, look.
What?
I don't know.
Talk to Jennifer. Find out what's going on with her.
Okay. All right. Steve.
Yeah.
Give us Jennifer for a second.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
So you feel like you're getting close, but you just can't get pushed over the crest of the hill, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had an orgasm by yourself or anything?
No.
No. And this is normal 17-year-olds.
So yeah.
It's not the birth control pill. It's just women your age often have difficulty having orgasmic function.
Okay, here's what needs to happen for her and for Steve. She needs to not make a big issue out of it in her own head.
Right.
I know it's easy to tell someone to stop thinking about something and hard to actually stop thinking about
Steve
something.
Steve needs to make it not a project.
That's
stop
right.
Turning into a
that's right.
Project.
Right. He can't be like a bear with its paw in the honey jar.
Yeah.
We're just trying to scrape out every last bit, knocking things over.
Yeah.
Because guys become like a raccoon in a kitchen in a cabin.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Just tearing and knocking and making a mess. Just relax. No pressure. Women don't respond to speed or pressure. And when I say pressure, I mean physical pressure or emotional pressure.
You're right.
You got to be like, hey, baby, if
cat,
it happens,
Persian
it happens.
Cat. Just, Persian
just,
yeah, cat.
Just rub on them a little bit. Hey.
Think Persian cat.
Lucky analogy.
Lucky Andrew. Analogy. But you came to that one because of who you knew. Let's take a break.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, going to
Missouri
tomorrow. And then, are we doing the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be calling you from Kansas City.
Sarah Rue is going to be in here on Sunday night, by the way, from Less Than Perfect. And then Bob Guinea, the Bachelor. Saw a little bit of that tonight. Was thinking about that. You know, Bob Guinea. It's a decent, you know, Bob Guinea, he's one of these guys where he was like the chubby bachelor guy before,
right.
And then he lost the weight. So he went from sort of chubby to husky, you know, he's not, I wouldn't call him thin, but here's the point. He's got 25 chicks and they're all going nuts for him. They're all going nuts and they're hot. It's like a bunch of hot 24-year-old school teachers. School teacher is a hot job for a chick, but they never teach high school. They just teach kindergarten and stuff like that. It's not like, I think they say school teacher, but they really just sort of they you know, keep the kids in line a little. They shuffle them around a little bit.
That's a hard job. Third grade, fourth grade. I'll tell you something.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the point. 25 super hot chicks, and the beauty of this is, if you're the guy, once the competition's on, it doesn't matter.
The
competition.
It's about the other girl. It's not about the guy.
Competition could be for a playing card smeared with fecal matter. It doesn't matter. Game on, game on.
Yes.
Now,
guys,
more competitive than women in many ways.
More aggressive, yeah.
But we're going to take a look at the prize.
Yeah.
And if you took, imagine the female equivalent to this. Let's just say there was, and they did the show, they did the Bachelorette. Where they had the female. Now imagine if the Bachelorette was drop 40 pounds, no longer fat, just a little bit husky. Not bad, but nothing too special. You get 25 hot model type guys to get into a fist fight over.
No,
it'd be drawing straws to see who banged her. And I don't mean good straws. I mean bad straws.
So guys, the competition is not about the other guys. For girls, for women, it's about the other women. It's not about where you're going.
If you have 25 hot-looking guys and there's one bachelor chick or bachelorette chick and she's a good solid 4 or 5, those guys are going, hey, buddy, bang away.
Because what they're going to have to do is they're going to want to kill each other to get at what it is they want.
Right.
That's what's got to be there, or they're not going to go after
it. But if they don't want it.
Then they'll go all play basketball together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They'll stay together.
The women, 25 hot chicks all in love with this guy and all going hard after him. And there's nothing wrong with him. I just mean he's not a model.
You know, speaking of these sort of platitudes we have in our culture, I recounted for some friends of mine your story about rape yesterday.
Hmm?
About raping.
Oh, right.
The violent crime with one caveat.
You come.
Yeah.
It's not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime. That's right.
Give me two more examples.
Oh,
come on, it was so funny. Please, I've enjoyed that so much.
Okay.
All right.
But I was saying, I always get a kick out of the fact that people always call rape a crime of violence. It's not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime where you come at the end. And it just...
it's like any other violent crime.
Like any other violent crime.
Where you come at the end. It's
the same. It's assault. It happens at the workplace.
Right, when somebody comes
disgruntled employee
comes
marches
into the
post office. It's got a loaded Mac-10.
Unloads the banana clip.
Empties it all and then comes. It's exactly the same. It's the same.
It's no different
than if we had a few pops at a bar. I saw a guy at the end give me the stink eye. He picked up a pool cue, one up, broke it over my back. I threw like took a beer mug and smashed it over his head, and then came. It's the same.
Same crime.
Same crime. All right. I don't know why Drew loves that so much.
It's so ridiculous. That's why.
But it's not a sexual thing. But you do come. I wonder if we could try to use that, you know?
What?
Hey, honey. Yeah, you're banging.
Sexual?
No. That was not a sexual thing that was going on there. I was banging your sister, but it was not a sexual encounter. You're beating off in front of the computer. No. That was a lot of things, but that was not sexual. We're using your rape logic.
Oh, my goodness.
Rachel?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is, would it be appropriate for me to have a conversation with my father in regards to the fact that he cheated on my mother for the majority of the
That's not a sexual thing.
Probably shouldn't use the word like cheated even, because that implies that it's sexual.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you know?
Well, I found out when I was 9. I overheard a phone conversation, and... my mom, over the years, has told me details, and I've seen some proof. And
hey, hang on a second. Your mom knows he's cheating.
Oh, yes. She knew.
And so you want to confront your dad?
Yeah. She made me promise when I found out that I would never say anything to him. And so I haven't for years.
I think you should talk to your dad for your own sake.
Yeah, I mean, because it's bothering you.
It's bothering you. It's going to affect how you think about men.
Did he stop?
No, he continued to until they got divorced.
Or your mom and dad got divorced.
How they got divorced. How old were you when they got divorced?
I was 18.
It sounds like they...
How long do you think this went on?
9 years.
About 9 or 10.
9 years? Oh, yeah, you discovered... You heard the phone call at 9 years of cheating?
Here's what this is.
Not a sexual...
No.
Go ahead.
Here's what this is. This is the marriage is not working. We're going to keep it together until the kids are 18.
Turn 18.
And then we're out of here. Yeah. And they may have had an agreement, Rachel.
Well, they were going to get divorced... when I was about 10, and the woman he was with didn't want to marry him, and so he just stuck around, I guess. But
Here's the thing, Rachel.
Okay.
Your dad's no angel.
No.
But he stuck around. He provided for the family, right?
Yes.
What did he do for a living?
He fixes bowling machines.
I knew it.
Of course. I was going to say. But who does he know? How'd he get that job?
He used to work for AMF, and now
right.
he
see?
Works for...
Yeah. See, he knew somebody in the AMF company.
Different.
Yeah, that's right.
AMF
well, they lucked into it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very strange... hold on a second, Drew. We don't have a guest tonight we can talk about or whatever we're going to talk about. But it's very just strange. It's not going to mean anything to anybody, but when we were talking about the rape jag a little bit earlier, and right before that, we're talking about The Bachelor, and I said, you need to have a prize.
Yeah.
You need to have a prize if a guy's going to compete.
Right.
And I said, you could take a playing card and smear some fecal matter on it. Women would fight over it if it was a competition.
Right.
If there are other women competing.
Right. It's compete for men, it's compete
right.
for, not compete with.
Okay. The first thing that I thought was, you could take a bowling pin and smear fecal matter on it. But I thought, I don't like that as much as playing card. Sounds even like less value.
When would there ever be a reference to bowling on our show?
It It
never
just,
happened.
All I'm saying is a minute and a half ago, I thought bowling pin, and I didn't say it.
Wow.
And now again, not eerie or bizarre, but...
Well, it speaks to the randomness of life, doesn't it? The randomness that Lauren was telling us about.
That's right. Yeah. God, you pointed that out. Rachel?
Okay, my concern is that it's affecting how you think about men. And you may not even realize it at this point, but it's imprinted itself on you. And either you have two choices from my standpoint.
Okay.
Well, three. One, you can get over it,
okay,
which you may not be able to do. Secondly, you can try to have a more reality-based relationship with your dad. Try to talk to him about what his motivation was, who he is. Try to see him as a real person, not as dad. And maybe you can resolve some. And if you can't, that's the time for therapy.
And listen, number two or three or four or five, you know, the guy stuck around until you're 18. He provided for the family. I'm not saying he was a great guy, but we certainly heard worse on this show.
But that's why I'm referring her back to dad. Dad may be able to reconcile this. He may be able to give him a chance.
And I think, Rachel, you got to let this go just a little bit.
Give him a chance. He's probably not a bad guy. The circumstances may be some things you have no idea
about. All right. What do you want to say?
The only variables in the situation are he's lived in another country for about 5 years, and we don't really talk very often. And
now
he
has lived in another country?
Yeah, I did promise my mom that I wouldn't say anything, and I'm afraid if I do say something, she's going to be devastated.
Well, look, put it this way. If you say anything, you're not going to feel any better. You've convinced yourself into thinking you will, but you never do.
Well, you're not going to feel vindicated or sort of. It's not going to discharge the bad feeling.
You're 21. So, I don't know. Let's just move on.
You need. It sounds to me like you need some sort of relationship with your dad. He's gone for 5 years. A divorce. You need a relationship with him. If you can't get it, then.
Oh. You know, it's the only decent thing my parents ever did, beside my dad being the head of radio and getting me this gig, is. I knew my parents were complete losers by the time I was 9 or 10. They got divorced when I was 8. I knew they were idiots, and I just thought, just go do whatever you want. Yeah. Get a girlfriend, get a boyfriend, get a girlfriend and a boyfriend, sit at home and smoke pot. Just do whatever you want. I'm not responsible for you. I'm going to go about my life. And
go pee on my friend.
I got buddies to urinate on.
Yeah.
I got work to do. But it's liberating.
Mm.
And it's been that way for 30 years.
It is in a way, but it's minimizing what you actually needed from them that you couldn't get. So
yeah. No, I wouldn't recommend it for. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
I mean,
but
that's where the 15 years of therapy has come in. It's to make up for what was missed there.
Yeah, I just don't feel responsible.
No, that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing.
Yeah, it's a little too healthy because I don't feel responsible for anything. Andrew.
Hey.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
What's up? I had a question for Dr. Drew about his book.
Yeah, Cracked. What's going on?
Yeah, I just picked it up 2 days ago, and I'm about to the fourth chapter.
Okay.
I was just asking, is this all based on true experiences?
Not just true experiences, but kind of typical experiences. It's sort of day in, day out.
Wait a minute. True experiences?
Well, it's based on true experiences, but there's no single person that could look at this book and say, hey, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's typical. I wrote about cases that I felt were exemplary and typical of my day.
Nice.
Awesome. Good times, huh? It's a good time,
yeah?
Huh?
Awesome book, as far as I can tell.
You're enjoying it?
Very much.
Good. Oh, you're 17. Look at you. You got the world by the tail.
Yeah, really?
Well, hopefully this will teach you something, too. You know, we always talk about people who have been victimized and setting boundaries. This is really what that feels like, to go dig in with people who've had some difficulties and be empathically available for them.
But remember, you could be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company or work at a manure farm.
It's all random.
It's all the cosmic wheel in the skies.
Well, I work in the right now, so.
No, just sit at home and wait.
Yeah.
Wait for something to happen.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
Once you get in, they can't get you out, though.
It doesn't matter.
Right. All right, Andrew, good luck with that.
Thanks
book.
For reading
God
the book.
Bless you.
We did. I did an NPR interview tonight, and man, it drove book sales. Went all the way up to like number 20 or something on Amazon.
Well, here's the thing: people who listen to National Public Radio.
Buy books.
Well, they read.
Yeah.
They know how to read. The people who listen to this show don't read. So you calling
all nerds.
Well, I still
the wrong audience.
I still wanted some support from our listeners.
I did this NPR, and I got pissed off at how nice their studios were.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Did you go there?
Well, I've been to several of them. They're nice.
Did you go? You go to the big one out here in like Santa Monica, Culver City area?
No, it's the one in Pasadena. It's also very nice.
Oh, hold on a second. Don't point the same direction I'm pointing.
I have no idea what direction Pasadena is. So
okay, obviously, but it's not the same direction
I'm
pointing.
I don't know if you're actually pointing to Santa Monica or not, you see. Fine.
You got to point. If I'm pointing toward the beach and you're pointing toward the valley, you can't point the same way I'm pointing.
I think you're pointing towards Culver City, towards Century City.
I'm pointing.
We're going outside. You're pointing.
Okay.
Towards, no,
all right. All right.
Century
I'm not going to move my arm.
Century City's right here.
No, the Century City's back this way. I'm pointing towards
Santa
Culver
Monica's
City.
This way.
Santa Monica's that way.
Pasadena's that way. Yes.
Pasadena's
thank you.
That way.
Yes. That's what I would say.
Holy
even
Christ.
More like that one.
All right, hold on. This is great radio. All right, listen. We got to get
Chris,
the bottom of this.
Say anything. It doesn't matter.
Once in a while, too, you find guys cheating. They start moving their arm. You go like, all right, you got to keep your arm pointing the direction. Okay, you said Hawthorne was that. Keep your arm. And as you're walking down the hall, you see their arm starting to shift. Put it back. Okay, let's. All right, I'm spun around, but let's go figure it out. We'll all take a quick break.
We'll go outside.
We'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Well, Dr. Drew was right. I was 180 degrees off. I did that thing where I pointed toward the direction I thought Santa Monica was, and then I walked with my arm out all the way. It's always it's great that we're both adult males. But the thing that's funny too is the arm will go down. You'll take a couple of steps. Then the other person will try to recreate the arm position and go, you're pointing over there. And now you're standing in the hall. And you're going, no. Move your arm about 4 inches to the left because that's the direction I was pointing.
We did that
you're
half a dozen times, too.
Yeah.
We had to go all the way to the parking lot. We wasn't good enough.
we had to walk backwards out about 15 doors and into the parking lot because I had to keep my hand stuck out like someone was painting us. All right. Hey, good times.
Good times.
We can keep ourselves amused over here. Shy?
Hi.
Is it Shay? Shy?
Shay?
It's
Shy.
All right, Shy. You're 20. What's up?
Well, I'm married. My husband's 21, and he likes to have sex, but I, like, never wanted. And I was wondering, is there anything I could do about
it? Are you on any medication?
No.
Is there some reason that you don't like sex? Something happened to you?
I'm never in the mood, never.
How's the relationship going?
It's typical relationship, typical marriage,
Yeah, that's always
fine.
Bad.
What does that mean?
That's always bad.
Yeah. Kids?
No. He has a daughter, but we don't have kids together.
Anything else going on medically with you? Any medication or anything? Nothing? Birth control pills?
I did that for a while, but I stopped because the pills weren't, they kind of make me sick.
All right. And have you ever gone through periods where you enjoyed or wanted to have sex?
Yeah, but that was like when I was in school, but then after I got out of school, I didn't have sex for about 3 years.
All right, so this is some sort of bipolarity thing.
Why'd you get married to this guy so early?
Because I love him.
Oh, boy. Right.
You don't sound that convinced about that anymore.
Well,
or do you still love him?
Yeah, I wouldn't be here trust me, I'm kind of girl, if I didn't want to be here, I would be gone, basically.
Yeah, well, that's what concerns us, is the kind of guy you would want to be with is probably the kind of guy that's a perpetrator, just like whatever happened to you that caused this cycling in your sexuality. When people go through periods of hypersexuality and then deprivation, that usually suggests some trauma, either physical trauma, probably physical abuse.
Any trauma, Shy?
Not that I know of.
No one ever hit you?
No, I had a normal childhood, as far as I know. I mean,
okay. I understand. Everyone thinks that normal childhood. Well, were you ever hit? Was somebody ever strike you?
No, not by my parents or anybody. No.
The answer is no. So listen.
There's something missing here.
Go, fine. Go, why don't you go to the doctor and get a workup then? See what's up.
No, I don't think it's medical. Because it's a hyper and then hypo.
Are you not attracted to this guy because he's a nice guy or because he's a bad guy?
Am I not or am I?
Oh, phone cut out again. Yeah. Now, Anderson, it's unclear whether people at home can tell she cut out or not.
No. She just cut out.
You did cut out.
Okay. I didn't hear a thing she said.
Hello? Okay.
She is shy.
Shy.
Yeah?
Are you? Okay. I guess I got to ask again because we had a little phone difficulty. Are you attracted to this guy?
Yes, very much, yes.
Very much.
Yeah, see.
I'm not sure. And by the way, she's given us a few good answers, which is, you know, how's the marriage? Well, it's like any marriage. Then number two, which is...
Childhood, like any child.
Have you ever thought about leaving? Listen, if I was going to leave, I would have left.
Yeah.
Again, it's hedged a little bit. It's not a direct answer. Then I said, you know, are you attracted? He goes, very much. You're very much attracted to the guy, a guy you can't stand? I mean...
It's a guy that you can't be intimate with.
I'm just saying, can you say you're very much attracted to somebody and loathe having sex with them? Can you be that way?
Yes, when you're a trauma survivor.
Shy?
It's not just him. It's probably with any guy... I never think about it. I never want to do it.
She's shut down.
You're completely shut down. And no, have we ever sexually abused?
No.
Why is a hesitation every time?
Because I think she's angry, and angry people try to screw with you all the time with every syllable. Are you angry, Shy?
No.
Okay, then why do you got to do that? Like, you know, we ever physically abused or sexually abused? Why is it always a weird pause and a little noise before the no?
It's like you ever physically abused? Not exactly. Not by my parents or anybody like that.
When I was younger, I was like any other kid, I would assume, you know, I was never satisfied. You know, parents, they never did anything bad to me, but still, I was basically a depressed kid, and, you know, but I got over that.
What are you talking about?
Who cares? Look, maybe she's just depressed.
No, she is telling us something, but can't come out and say it.
Really?
I was like any kid. It's like any marriage. I was like any child. No, she wasn't. What happened? Was somebody violent in the home? I'm tired of this.
Okay, listen, I'm going to punch her up, but I got to take a leak.
We'll go. I'll try to squeeze it out of her. Shy?
Yes.
Hold on. What? We better have something good by the time I get back.
All right. We have a chance to get a pee this way. Come on.
Right.
You should be happy about this. What went on in your home? What was so painful?
I got to pee.
Was your dad away all the time? Was there violence in the home? Was there somebody? What happened?
I had a stepdad and a mom. I am the youngest, and I always was, you know, treated, you know, differently because I was the youngest.
How were you treated? You cannot talk in riddles. You got to tell us specifically what happened. What happened to your biological father?
He was never there.
How old were you when he left?
He wasn't there at birth, but he came in and out of my life periodically.
What kind of guy was he?
He's a jerk.
Was he an alcoholic or addict or something?
No, he just tends to make promises he can't keep.
Okay, and then what was it your stepfather did? What was he like? You said they treated you differently. How did they treat you?
Well, they never let me do anything because I was the youngest. And
how did that manifest? How did they do that?
It was like I had to stay home, you know. I couldn't have any friends over.
Were they verbally abusive to you?
Sometimes.
But never physically abusive?
No.
No one ever hit you?
No.
Why am I convinced that that happened to you?
That someone hit me?
Yeah.
The only thing that I've gotten were spankings, but that's good.
That's what I'm talking about, Chai. Okay, so here's what we got.
Yeah.
Biological father left at birth, came in and out of her life, made promises, and was an a-hole, abusive a-hole. Stepfather, abusive a-hole that was over-controlling, kept her in her room, wouldn't allow her any socialization, and struck her. It was a trifecta. It was everything we thought we were seeing here.
I ate like 1,400 pine nuts tonight, and my whiz smelled like a barn. Crazy smelling whiz.
Did you save
whiz.
It? Can I go see it?
If you get down low enough into the sink, you probably catch
sink.
Remnants of it. No, I didn't do it.
This is why I'm so insensitive.
I'm just saying, pine nuts could be my new asparagus.
Good times.
Okay.
But Shy had everything my senses told me was there. She was physically abused. She had an abandoning biological father and an a-hole stepfather.
Of course. All right.
So why can't people be honest about this stuff? And it's stuff that needs to be treated, and it will not change. And that's why she's shut down. She's cycling through hyper and hyposexuality from the trauma of the past. If you want to deal with that, deal with it. But don't be surprised by what's happening.
Just don't have any kids. She's not going to do anything. She's not going to do anything.
Time for a break.
She's not going to change.
Well, she can't even admit that this is what's been going on, even we're explicitly saying that's
what
happened.
She's 15 years away from doing anything. I just say, Shy, don't have any kids, and get yourself some TiVo, and call it a life. That's fine.
Put that on hold, take a break.
All right. Listen, everybody, not everybody's got to change.
Yeah, but how about just us all accepting what reality is? How about that?
How about just getting a TiVo and not having so many goddamn kids? I'd be happy with that.
I'll go with that, too.
All right, don't shoot anyone in the workplace.
All right.
Look, okay. Don't shoot anyone in the workplace. Stay home, watch a lot of TiVo. Stop banging out all the kids.
All right.
That's enough. You don't have to be self-actualized. Not everyone needs to write a book. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Cracked.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Buy it, please.
Amazon,
read
number 29.
It. Read it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800. Sound like Norm MacDonald there. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Where's he been?
Norm?
Yeah.
Norm goes away for about 18 months and then resurfaces in a sitcom that doesn't suit him very well. And then that lasts a few months, and then he goes away for another year and a half, and then comes back, does another sitcom.
Interesting.
I don't know why, I know Norm. I'm not best friends with him. I just hung out with him a little bit here and there.
We played baseball with him, remember?
Oh, yeah. Norm's an alcoholic, gambling, addicted, horrible, horrible man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not experience him that way. He seemed okay
one-on-one. He's talented. He's funny. He's a decent enough guy.
And by the way, gambling and alcoholism does not make somebody horrible, horrible.
No, but I just mean he's not sitcom material. I'm not sitcom
material. He's not John Ritter.
Yeah, he's not. He's got more to say than that.
Yeah.
And he should say it. And I don't want to do a sitcom for the same reason Norm shouldn't want to do a sitcom, but he pops up in a sitcom once a year, and then it doesn't last that long because it's not for him, even though he's real talented.
TV.
He's a good guy, but...
There's only so many options on television these days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, look, Jim Belushi.
That's
sitcom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
When I went and saw Norm MacDonald do stand-up,
mm-hmm.
there were disclaimers saying, you know, a lot of people don't find his humor funny and you might leave and we're not giving your money back. And about 20 people left.
Wow. Did he say insulting things?
No, just like his humor is really offbeat and people think it's going to be like Saturday Night Live humor and it's not.
Yeah. But also sometimes he's like drunk and hungover and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're not getting him, you know, you're not getting his A game.
Yeah.
But did you like it, Anderson?
Oh, I loved it. The waitstaff was laughing. I was laughing, but a lot of people were not laughing.
But you can agree with me when I say not really the best guy for a sitcom.
I have no idea how that happened. It's like George Carlin doing a sitcom, but that failed. But
right.
Norm's
well, that's
working.
The point. That's the point.
Yeah, you should stay with Thomas the Tank Engine.
That's right. Where he's known and loved.
Yeah.
That's how you got to start. All right.
Random.
It's all luck.
You went from Thomas to stand-up. Just see how that works?
All luck.
Or back and forth?
All luck. Don't bother trying anyone.
True masturbated to Thomas the Tank Engine once.
Dave, you're 20.
Hey.
What's up?
I have a question about when me and my girlfriend, when we're like having sex, mm-hmm. there's like a big difference between when I finish and when she does. And
what does that mean exactly?
You mean in time?
Yeah.
Or in what transpires?
In time.
I see, in time.
So you finish when?
She finishes first, and then...
How long into it does she finish?
Like, between 5 and 10 minutes.
All right, mm-hmm. And you?
And me, it's like 20-30.
20-30.
Uh-huh.
So she's got to kind of hang in there for...
Yeah.
Does she get frustrated and sort of unhappy with your continued...
No, I don't know. It just feels weird because
she's done.
Yeah, she's done.
She's really done. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you think you could speed up a little bit?
Yeah, I was wondering like what would be.
How often do you guys have sex?
At least once a week.
Once a week. Yeah. Mm. Can't really do much with that.
How's your plumbing going? I mean, are you
cleaning it, clearing the pipes?
Yeah, you taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
How often?
How often?
All the time.
Are you doing it now?
No.
But you just finished, right?
Not by myself. It's always with her.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is, do you beat off?
I used to.
But you don't anymore because you got her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You only have her once a week.
Maybe more. It all depends on how often we get to see each other.
I see.
Still not an answer.
Still, you never beat off.
No, not much anymore. Like every now and then, if I haven't seen her for like a long time, maybe.
What's a long time?
Like a couple of weeks.
And if you didn't beat off and you let the tough couple weeks build up, would you come quicker?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I know, Drew, you always play this card, but look.
Some guys, it works. Sometimes it doesn't. He says, yeah.
I think it works the opposite way, which is I think he needs to get into a rhythm and a paced-up rhythm. It's like, here's what it's like.
You know, I get it.
It's like saying, look, if you only run once a month, you can run really far because you've saved up all that running. Uh-uh. You don't run so good. But run better if you run every day.
But if you'd like to take a giant whiz, you got to save it up. And it's easier to...
That's
you know
disgusting.
What I'm saying?
You peeing on her?
You know what I'm saying? There's a save-up component to orgasm in the male.
There is, but not at 20.
There can be. There can be. And it's not necessarily. But I agree
not
with you.
Not really.
He should try.
He'd be better off just getting it going on a daily basis and working on his speed.
I agree with you on that. I actually think he's probably masturbating more than he's telling us, but he's sort of ashamed to admit it.
Dave?
Yeah.
Are you lying to us about the amount you beat off?
No.
Okay. Well, listen.
Why do I...
Do me a favor. Do it every day.
Okay.
And then try an experiment. When are you going to see her next?
Probably Saturday.
Saturday. That's, about 3 days? 3 days? I want you to do it tonight, tomorrow, Friday.
And focus.
And then focus on Saturday.
But then each night he's got to focus, too. You get that.
Yeah, see if you can speed it up.
And if you can, if it takes things longer because of this, then you wait the couple weeks and see if you can get a build-up thing.
Right.
Because some guys, they're trigger more easily if they've been deprived for a while.
Right. All right. Oh, wait a minute. Tom?
Yes, sir.
You're 22?
Yep.
You can play the Taboo 2 theme song on your guitar?
Yeah, I figured it out for you.
Wow. Oh, it is a guitar-driven song.
Yeah.
It's acoustic. Classic. Yeah. It is. It is now. Taboo 2, my favorite porn movie. The guy, for those of you who haven't talked about it in a while, the guy, Junior, is having sex with his mom and his sister.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And his girlfriend. And someone went and wrote a song about Junior. Well, it's in the song.
Well,
it's in the movie, Taboo, too.
The song is all these women's perspective on this guy.
He has it all.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a guy who's raping his sister and his mom.
The Ballad of Taboo, too. Right.
Right. The Ballad of Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So do you have acoustic guitar there?
Yep.
Oh, it sounded like Taboo. Had a Pavlovian reaction. I had a little boner there. All right, so Anderson, why don't you play the Taboo 2?
No,
shut up. Shush.
Right.
Play it softly. Now, let me just kick it in here, Tom. See what Sal's doing here. You put the phone down? Or...
I can't hear it. Play it again.
What did he say?
I can't hear it.
All right, then start. Just play it. No.
Okay. All right, Anderson, you hold off on it. Tom, just put the phone down by the guitar and start playing.
You start playing too, okay?
Okay.
You will, don't worry.
All right, hang on.
Just don't start beating off, Adam, all right?
I'm too late.
He has it all.
Yes, he does. He knows how to please in every detail. And do a style. He does it with me.
Oh, yes, he does.
I know that you thought that you knew him.
Maybe you did,
but you don't. El Capone played a better guitar.
He only
reveals what he wants you to see. And then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me. Just what he could do. You'd want him to if you only knew.
Yeah, Tom.
Beautiful.
Oh. Wow. You may have hit one bad chord there, but other than that, that was solid.
Yeah, I had to get up right in the middle because the box it was on was moving, so I had to adjust it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all right. Wow.
Is Tom a virgin?
Tom, are you a virgin?
You know, last time I called, you asked me the same thing. No, I'm not.
You're not.
I have a cold right now.
Yeah, well, no, nobody who strums a guitar like that is going to stay a virgin for long.
No.
I'll tell you that.
That's how I lost
right now. All right, now, how did you learn the theme to Taboo 2?
Well, I've been listening to you guys forever, and I downloaded the MP3 of you singing it, and I just figured it out a couple minutes ago because I was bored. I've been wanting to do it forever, but I live in Maryland, so it's hard to catch you guys.
The next one you got to learn
is... Why is it hard to catch us in Maryland? Because it's so late?
Yeah, it's late.
Well, wait a minute. What time are we on in Maryland?
I thought, he can't get to us because we're on later than we air.
Right, exactly.
I see. You can't get to us. Right. Okay. The next one you got to learn is Gotta Get It On, which is in the same thing. It's Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On. It's a little more up-tempo.
Is it in Taboo 2?
Yeah, it is in Taboo 2.
See, he doesn't have Taboo
2. Well, I'm saying, hold on a second. Tom.
Yeah.
Go out and get that Taboo 2. You could do worse.
Okay.
Your mom will be very impressed when she finds it.
Get that, and then call back when you've learned the guitar riff to Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On. A little bit of a cop-out when you're writing a porn song. What's this one going to be called? This one's going to be called Gotta Get It On. How's it go? Well, let me get it. Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On, Gotta Get It On. Gotta get it. So this one's Gotta Get It On.
I get it, Bob. Good job.
Nice work. How many weeks you got in on Gotta Get It On? Just about 2.5. So. And you know whoever wrote that in 1976, 77 thought, this is my break.
Yeah.
I'm breaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Probably in some legitimate band called...
They're scoring up Billy Jack next month, and I'm up for it.
Probably had one of those names like Black Horse or something, in this band, sort of 70s names. Uh-huh. And this was just something to pay the bills in between the big record contracts that were rolling in. All right, let's hop back to the phones and speak to...
Dylan?
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Yeah, Dylan, what's up?
My mom and dad have been, bickering back and forth for, the past couple of weeks. And my dad has told me that my mom really wants to get a divorce. And I don't really want them to, but then they'd be fighting every day. And I've got a little brother that's 6 and a little sister that's 10. I was wondering if it'd be better if they just stayed together and fought.
It's better if they get some help and work things out. Even if they're sort of quasi-unhappy, it's better than breaking everything apart.
Well,
there's been some studies recently that show that people that come from divorced families, it has an effect to well into your 30s.
What are you talking about, Drew? Look at me.
Case in point.
Gotta get it on, gotta get it on, gotta get it on, gotta get it on. And then a great sound. Feels so good. Yeah, I'm going to bring that in, Drew.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I'll tell you.
Strangely, I like it better than
the
other one.
The guys from System of a Down know Gotta Get It On.
Of course. Well, John is like
John knows.
He can write the script out of the Taboo 2 just from memory.
Hey, Dylan?
Uh-huh.
Your parents planning on getting any counseling?
I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing, Dylan. You can't be responsible for them. Whatever they do is what they do.
But I certainly would go to them and say, hey, this is affecting us. Why don't you guys, do something that might help this, might heal it, whether you go to your clergy or go to a therapist, whatever it is. Get some assistance with this because the breaking apart, each of them are going to find somebody else that's a pain in the neck too. And it's not going to be a good thing. It's going to be bad for the younger siblings. Come on. They're not beating each other.
Gotta get it on. Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, you're 21. What's up?
Oh, dude, I love you guys. I've listened forever, and I've never gotten through to you before.
Here we are.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, basically, I just have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
Hey, I just I want to know the scientific or medical, you know, explanation or justification for farting, basically.
Justification? Why did God, we're asking God, why did you create such a
thing?
To thank him for it, as Adam would?
I don't want to thank him. I mean, it's a pretty hideous thing.
Careful. Adam's getting very offended, Chris. Be careful.
How dare you?
I mean, because I'm
you
a,
attack
I'm a
my
hideous
hobbies,
farter.
My livelihood. What's that?
Love.
My love. Yes.
I mean, I just... My farts are bad. I kind of want to know medically what they are. I mean,
how's it work, Drew?
Well, there's two ways you get the gas. One is swallowing air. And some people, that's more of an issue than others. But that is sort of where some of the volume comes from. The smell comes from bacteria in your bowel, which some people have more of. Split certain things you eat into methane gas, basically. And that can have fair volume, but that also is the big stink.
I tell you, I have not had a good bad gas day in a year. Just not had a good day. And Drew, you know when I've had some good outings.
Oh, yeah. You've not had one in this studio, interestingly.
I haven't had one in the old studio for 6 months before we left.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a year.
You had one.
I mean, Drew, it's been a couple of years. I mean, I've had some pretty big days
over
there.
Just talking about.
You got gas? Drew's got a fart. Drew, don't fart, because Drew's farts smell. My farts don't smell.
Yours can be awful. I mean, just awful.
I know, but here's the thing.
You're so proud of that, too. Drew,
no,
please, don't. You flatter me.
But let me explain.
Yeah,
baseball analogy. I am like, if I was a baseball player, I would strike out or ground out just about every time.
Except have
trouble getting the ball out of the infield.
Almost all the time.
Almost every time I get up.
Then
I would jack one for 550 feet.
You get up to the plate and point to the outfield.
Yeah.
Point to the deep center.
Right.
And deliver. Just
Drew's
pow.
Been in a couple of those games.
Comes in and just says, just points to the outfield. Just points and just out of the park.
All right, but I've not had one of those days in a long time. And here's my question, Drew.
Yes,
Anna. Everybody always says, and I've had this argument with Jimmy many, many times, because he's passionate when it comes to this. He's always like, oh, it's what you eat. If I eat clams, I'll do it. If I eat this, oh, that. Right. Okay. But how come I eat whatever all the time, and then one time I'll get gas, and I'm always eating the same thing every day?
Because probably some spice or legume or something gets in there. Probably. Yeah, come on. You go out to eat all the time.
No,
it might have been the day before.
My diet is like a handful of things. It's just a handful of things.
Some
I eat the
just
same
eating
thing
a lot.
All the time.
Some people just stimulate it when you eat
but
a lot.
But that night I had horrible gas. I didn't eat a lot. I didn't do anything any differently. I didn't do it. And then there's guys who have it all the time, and it's bad.
No matter what. Yeah, those tend to...
Well, the heavier guys, yeah. Cousin Sal. Guy's blessed. But some guys are just bad. They're just okay, here's what I'm saying. Everything that comes out of them is bad.
Yep. B.O.
95% of what comes out of me makes a good novelty noise, but it's not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
I just blow gas all night, nothing. It is. It breaks my heart. I blame my parents. But
again.
I'm just saying, it is your diet, but it's also what's in your gut, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The bacteria that happened to be there that day. Right. But it's what the bacteria are getting.
I'm telling you, Drew, I eat everything and anything in all random orders and all quantities and all different times and nothing. Yeah. And then once in a while, pow.
Oh, yeah.
And I would know. I'd say, oh, because I would do that every time.
You point out of the park and, man, you hit it.
No, what I'm saying is if that night I was blowing horrendous gas and I said, I went out and I ate Vietnamese tonight and I never eat Vietnamese and this is what's doing it.
You'd eat it every night.
But that night I had some asparagus and a piece of chicken, the same thing I have every night.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
all right. Who are we talking to, Max?
Sure.
Oh, Max been on hold for a while. Max?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Jennifer's not even longer.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Max?
It's about an eye twitch. I've had it since I was a kid, but it'd kind of be there for a few months and go away.
Uh-huh.
And then about 2 years ago, it came back really, really bad. I mean, like,
so it's something somebody can see if they're looking at you.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I wouldn't even know I was doing it. It was like really kind of violent, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, really intense, and it's settled down a little bit since then. Uh-huh. But it's still,
is it both eyes? Or is it both eyes? Just
one
both
eye? Eyes. I mean, really, from like both eyes up to the forehead.
Yeah. Do they call that blepharospasm? You ever heard that word?
I had it checked out by like my normal doctor. Well, he actually just noticed it
Maybe he's gay. Isn't that how they communicate?
I've seen a patient with this, and I would see a neurologist about it, because there may be some anti-epileptic type medication that can help with this, and or other medications too. That if it were one eye, sometimes they even do a surgery for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To make the other one twitch?
Yes, of course.
So they can have some symmetry?
Sure. But this is a blepharospasm is usually what this is called, and you should see somebody about it. It can be treated, all right?
Gotta get it on, gotta get it on. Gotta get it on, gotta get it on. Then the sax comes in. And it shifts gears. Feels so good.
Oh, there's other words.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Chris, you can say anything. You got it?
Gotta get it. Jennifer.
Yes.
You're 23?
Also,
yes, I am.
And Chris, be yourself. See, this is being yourself.
All right, I have a comment for you, Adam, and then a serious question for Dr. Drew. My comment to you, Adam, is that you are the man. I have got so much respect for you because you speak your mind and are not afraid to say whatever it is you're thinking. And I could eat so much SH for that back here, and so I got mad respect for you on that.
Did you hear his explanation about violent crimes and rape?
I have to agree with him. You know, I think it's stupid how they have it figured out like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's just, like I said, it's like the when you say rape victim and they say rape survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who uses a survivor thing where it's abuse or rape or whatever it is, incest, eating disorder, I automatically hate that person. I don't want to lessen what happened to the person. It's just better to be, you're not a, yes. Well, first off, every victim who wasn't killed by their assailant is a survivor.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been through anything and is alive is a survivor.
Right.
Yeah, you better to call yourself a victim. It means someone did something to you. Survivors.
By the way, just because you feel bad for you, then.
Well, just because somebody was a victim doesn't mean they're forever a victim, which is what the implication is, which sort of really reinforces what the person is feeling and protecting them from dealing with that.
Right. Yes. Look, again, you can be sitting at a stoplight and some drunk driver can broadside you. He T-bones you. You're a victim. Doesn't make you any worse a driver, any weaker a person. It just means victim just basically means somebody did something to you that you had nothing to do with.
And if you still continue to feel like a victim, you better deal with that.
Thank you, Drew. All right.
All right.
What's
my
up, Jennifer?
To Dr. Drew is this. It's about kind of vulgar subject, but I've always had a very irregular menstrual cycle.
Can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Go ahead.
What I noticed was, it hasn't really bothered me. I've been to a gynecologist 3 times.
You're a lesbian.
Specifically regarding, and I'm not a lesbian, specifically regarding the situation because I'm getting to the point where, you know, if I get into a serious relationship, I want to have children.
You're a lesbian.
And they've said nothing physically, like, wrong with my reproductive system. I just don't bleed normally. But what my question is that I've noticed that when I have sexual intercourse, when I have sex,
you're
every
a lesbian.
Time, and it's been irregular, mind you. It's not like I'm having regular sex, but if like I usually have a period maybe 3 times a year if nothing happens. But if I have sex within a week to a week and a half, I will have one regular menstrual cycle, and then it'll go with nothing again until I have sex, and then it'll come. So basically, every time I have sex, I'll get my period, but if I don't...
It is very common for sex to stimulate bleeding. And because you don't bleed regularly, your endometrium is sort of built up and unstable, so every time you'll stimulate
it's
bleeding.
It's like a snowdrift. You got to shoot it with
that's
a howitzer
fine.
Cannon and knock it down
that's
so it's not
fine.
An avalanche and
definitely
some
you
campers
should,
don't get caught
well,
under it.
It has no specific implications about your fertility.
Wow, that was
however, crazy. You do, when the time comes to have a child, you are going to want to document that you are ovulating and be sure that you don't have polycystic ovaries. But beyond that, there's nothing special about this.
You a big gal?
Really?
You a big gal?
I haven't always been. I'm a little larger now.
You're fat.
True, please.
But I haven't always been, and I've always had this problem, even when I was of regular height and weight.
Did they do an ultrasound of your ovaries?
They did both an external and an internal ultrasound.
And did you have cysts? Did you have cysts?
No, they haven't noticed anything like irregular. Like I said, I'm completely healthy except for the fact that I don't bleed.
Okay.
What size are you coming in at?
Are you talking about breast or waist?
Give me a whole package. Height?
5'8". And I weigh 255, and I wear a 42 double D.
You're fat.
Yeah.
Yes,
true, please.
I am.
True, please. Hold on, let me do a little. 255. All right. And are you going to get on do a little exercise, get on a diet?
Hey, you know, it's tough. I work overnight. Right now I'm at work right now talking to you guys. I do.
All right. Well, Jennifer, I see you have a job.
Yes,
well, then you have to be morbidly obese. Anyone who holds down a job must. You know, I know, it's tough. You work.
No, yeah. I'm lazy, too. You know, it happens.
All right, listen, what the hell?
Jennifer,
let me tell you something. She's fat, she's lazy, she's happy. I say, God bless her. She finds herself a nice, skinny black guy, and they'll be happy forever.
You look, the weight does affect ovulation and endometrial stability. For sure, it can make you not ovulate being overweight like that. So you might want to look into that.
5'8", 255
yeah, if you've
is
not been under
that's a, stout, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, if you've not been over 100, under 170, 180, all that can definitely affect your period.
You know what always kills me is when they sit there, they're 255, they set that target weight for 190.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hey, they're walking. Now we got to see them in the ski pants. And it's like, now look, this is a relative thing. You've lost 65 pounds. God bless you. But to me, your 190-pound chick is 5'8". Gotta get them ski pants off and put the gauchos on. Yes, Drew? Gaucho, yes? Okay. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. He's got it all. Yes, he does. All right, Drew, let's get a call. Come on. What do you got there, buddy?
Ashley, let's talk to her.
Two. Ashley.
Hi.
You're 18.
Yep.
What can we do you for?
Okay, I've been kind of seeing this guy for like 3 months.
Boring.
No, okay. Every time I go over there, like, we end up just doing stuff, but he never
boring.
Does anything to me. He never does anything to me. I always end up doing stuff to him.
What do you mean?
Like,
oral.
Like, I always end up, like, going over to his house and, like, jacking him off, and he never, like, does anything to me.
What do you want him to do to you?
Like, do stuff, like...
Come over to her house and let her jack him off.
What do you want him to do to you?
I want him to, like, go down on me or something or anything. Like, he doesn't do anything. And then, like, after he's done coming, he's like, I'm getting pretty tired or, like, my friends are coming over. And he's like,
yeah. Does he think of you as his girlfriend?
No.
He might.
No.
He thinks of you the way he thinks
of the guy that, like, cleans his car.
No, he thinks of you like the way he thinks of the inlet for the water in his jacuzzi.
Yeah.
No, but he, like, always says, like, well, do you want to go out and stuff? He's like, we should go out sometime. And, like, today he came over and he asked about $250. And he's like, I really need it. It's for, like, this drug thing. And I don't know.
Oh, well, that's different. I mean, if he needs to borrow a substantial amount of money for a drug thing, I mean, you got to help him out.
For a drug deal?
And I haven't ever had a relationship. And, like,
I can see why.
No kidding. Okay, well, so Ashley, break up with this guy.
You're not. She's not with him.
All right.
Here's what he
don't
says.
Break
we
up
should,
with
we
him.
Should go out. Is when he wants you to come over and jack him off.
Yeah, that's enough. You're done.
I want a relationship though.
Right. Not with him.
Well, not with him.
Not with him. He's just completely exploiting you.
Well, can I like talk to him about it?
No. Get
just
away from
break
him.
Up.
Bad guys.
Stop asking, talking to him.
Asking for money.
I like it.
Jobs.
And here's the whole thing. Guys get brazen. Guys will. Take as much rope as you'll give them.
Well, it's almost like they become disdainful at a certain point for these women for doing this. You know
they do.
I mean?
They don't. They lose respect for
yes.
them, and then they get angry.
Yeah. Then they take it out on them. Then I'm gonna really stomp you down.
And then it just sort of becomes like, hey, I need money for drugs.
Yeah.
Hey, come over and jack me off. And then they start getting really, really disdainful and brazen, and they start talking about going out with their friends, and you know, start talking about other women in front of them. I need some money so I can take this other chick out. And if things don't work out, I'm going to need you to jack me off at the end of the night. Hopefully, she'll jack me off. But if you could just sort of be on jack-off call.
Yeah, they get a victim abusive. Just overtly abusive. It's like you've disappointed them for all women or something.
Yes. And if the woman in question, like Ashley over here, had a dad that was less than great.
It's game on.
It sucks them in.
Yeah.
They like them even more. Think there's something they're doing wrong.
Right.
Billy?
Oh, hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just taking a leak.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
It's too loud now. I can't hear you because the toilet's flushing.
Are you an institution or something? He has one of those...
Let me say this. I want this invention And look, we got way too much crap. There's way too many inventions that we don't really need.
We had a timer in the toilet, huh?
I need that timer.
How about a
flush.
Remote control flush?
I'll do that, too, because yeah. I cannot... First off, I do a lot of dumping on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm on the pot.
Well, you have
I'm talking, I'm taking a dump. That's how I do it every time. Once in a while, you're trying to get that bloop, you know, you try to miss that splash. But I swear to God, I do it about five times a year. Big old dump, big old pyramid dump, big old monolith of Duke in the toilet, and then I walk away because I don't want to flush it while I'm on the phone because I don't want them to hear what we just heard. It's
right,
embarrassing.
Right. And of course,
I walk away and I forget.
And so since you live alone, wait a minute.
No, it's usually the
housekeeper and your wife.
It happens on the day the maid comes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, thank God it's not your wife.
She's big. I mean, the Duke actually comes up above the water line. Do you know what I mean? I crap like a farm animal. It's not like, oh, there's two or three logs. It's a pile. It's flop. You know what I'm saying, Drew? It is a pile, and it's like an iceberg. If you know, there's 90% of it is under the water, but you'll see the peak will stick out. Okay.
Farm animal?
I just mean in the sense that it's not so much extruded log as it is a pile. And then it sits there, and then the maid finds it and flushes it. And the maid just must think I'm an animal because the maid's got to be like, what, this jackass is so lazy, can't even turn around and thinks his ass doesn't stink.
Does your wife ever find
it? I guess it wait for me? Yeah.
Oh,
next caller, please.
What does she do?
Imagine she flushes it.
She doesn't complain to you?
She complains about so much stuff that I don't even know. You know what I mean?
It sounds
like one big complaint
to me.
This
would be a poignant issue for her, I'm sure.
All right.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, something really happened, I can tell.
No, it just, once in a while it happens, that's all. It's life in the big city, Drew.
Yeah.
Billy?
All right. This is a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My question is, let's see. When two people are having sex, how do they both orgasm at the same time?
They don't.
Oh, they don't.
No.
I thought they did.
They do. I mean, if you got a chick who has the dignity to fake an orgasm, she can kind of time hers with yours,
yeah.
Like a porn star, and time her fake with yours.
It's pretty unusual for people to be able to do that simultaneously. Well, it's unusual for women to be able to orgasm during intercourse.
Oh, yeah, I know that. You say that all the time.
Yeah, and so that's unusual.
It's like one of those. It's like saying, you know, in the halftime of the basketball game when they pull the guy up from the stands and he's wearing loafers and jeans and he hits the half court shot for $1 million.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, once in a while the ball goes in.
Yeah,
that's all.
So like, it's one person that orgasms first, the other guy has to keep going to get the other person to orgasm.
Again.
Now listen, I'm not doing the orgasm math with Billy.
Again, most women.
Billy's 21, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, do not have it during intercourse, so you have to stop after you orgasm and do something different.
Hey, listen, you got to start calling yourself Bill.
Bill?
Stop asking these questions that 16-year-olds ask.
Everybody wants me to get a job and wants me to change my name to Bill, but.
Yeah, how dare they ask him to get a job? What are they thinking?
I get Social Security, so it's no big deal.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you get Social Security?
I got schizophrenia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You taking your medication?
I get a shot every like 15 days in my arm.
Haldol?
I'm not
Prolixin.
Sure.
Prolixin.
Does it work?
I don't know.
Wait a minute, Billy. Were you doing drugs at the time they made the diagnosis of schizophrenia?
I don't think it's the drugs that did it.
Were you doing drugs at the time you had the diagnosis?
I think that means yes.
No, I'm not. No, I wasn't.
All right.
Because I've seen a lot. You don't sound schizophrenic to me. And I've seen a lot of schizophrenic drug addicts misdiagnosed as schizophrenic.
Can you work?
I don't even know. I think maybe I have like ADD or something. It's just really old.
You don't sound schizophrenic.
Like
how about you try to get a job?
Yeah, I should.
All right, for you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
And for Adam.
Right. And for me. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good times. Let's take a little break, Drew.
Yes. I just want to contemplate the farm animal reference for a few minutes. Chris almost lost his S when you said that.
Well, you know what I'm saying? They're not like cigar tubes.
No, I get it. You're not land cable.
Right. All right. Sometimes.
Really?
You never know.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Is that a healthier thing, or is it the farm animal thing a little better for you?
What do you like?
Yeah, whatever.
What do you think? It's either cigar tubes or soft swirl.
I
you're like soft swap.
I think you'd be a little more proud of the animal.
Anytime you can come up above the waterline, I think that's a good day.
Impressive.
That's a good
day. It's like subconscious. You leave that there to leave your mark and to show people what you've accomplished.
You may be right. Of course. All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Hey, did my wife call?
Anderson? I like the way they listen to the show in there.
Hey, I'm listening, but I don't know the answer.
Well, her name and her name was up on the board.
I know, but you got to say, hold
so
on.
Apparently she called and she got bored and hung up.
Did she want to be on the air?
She wanted to ask you about peeing in the sink, Adam, apparently.
At home? Or did she want to gloat about the...
Turns out I don't answer the phone, so I'm not quite sure.
I know you're sitting next to somebody that does.
Shut up, Anderson. Just shut up and do the buttons, would you, please?
I'm sorry.
Just shut up and do the buttons. Do the buttons. Just shut up and push the buttons.
I don't know the answers to your questions, dude. I'm sorry.
That's fine. So just push the buttons.
Oh, relax.
I'm pushing the buttons. I'm just answering the questions the best I know how.
Yeah.
Sorry. Adam, I'm sorry, dude.
Best... Okay.
I'm
just
sorry.
Just push the buttons.
Sorry.
Push the buttons.
Hey, sorry.
Sorry.
He's not sorry. He's being a prick. And he doesn't answer the first one. I thought the line was cut off.
I didn't know the answer, man. I'm sorry.
If you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. Don't just sit there in silence and make us ask if you're there.
No, I was asking the question to the people in the room with me.
All right.
What did they say so we know the answer?
Oh, who cares? Let's just get on with our lives.
Let it call back. We'll put you on.
No, don't call back.
It's on here.
Lynette asked Drew to ask Adam about peeing in the sink, and that's all she said.
Well, he just peed in the sink here. That was the whole pine nut thing. He perfumed the bathroom here at K-Rock with
please.
The pine nut.
Untrue. Untrue.
Really?
Well, listen, don't... Okay, Lynette, if you're listening, don't call the show and then hang up. Oh, who cares? Let's just get out of here. Can we go? Who are we going to?
Pick a line.
All right. Eddie.
Hey.
You're 17?
That I am.
What's up?
Okay, I'm just kind of getting off the whole farting subject, but I'm kind of worried that my girlfriend might have been a victim of...
What were we talking about, Duke, not farting, right?
Oh, yeah, that actually was, sorry.
All right, what's up?
I was actually talking to her on the phone the other night, and we were reading through old conversation logs. My computer saves them. We talk online a bunch, and one of the things that she had said that I hadn't even noticed back when she had said it really kind of scared me, and when I read it, she really started freaking out. She was it was like the day before Christmas, and she was talking about how she wanted her dad to take her to church because she used to be a member of the Catholic Church. He wouldn't because he was very, quote, very focused on a personal project of his that she hates. And I asked her what project, and she said it ties in with other family things and that she couldn't talk about it. But then she said that she thinks, quote, he should die and she hates him for it. Now, I'm sure she was saying that in a joking tone, but then there was like this pause. I probably wasn't paying much attention at the time, but then she said...
You wouldn't pay attention to somebody asking their, you know, suggesting
their father. Oh, I am. I do very much.
Burn in hell. I mean, that's, you let that go.
Yeah, I know. I was actually in a...
Eddie, so far this doesn't tell us really anything except that she's mad at her father.
Okay, well...
I don't know what she's mad about. I don't get it.
All right, but Believe me, she'll be mad at you, too. If she's mad at her dad, you're in trouble.
No, it's not that at all. It's just like when...
Will be that.
Okay.
How long have you guys been together?
This was previous relationship. We had actually gotten back together. We've been together for 2 months now, but it's very, very committed, and we're going on for quite a while.
Why'd you guys break up?
It was actually just stupid teenage stuff. I didn't have my license at the time, and we couldn't get to see each other as much as we had. And
So, you mean...
Distance.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway...
Okay, the reason that it kind of leads me to believe this is because she, is kind of afraid of her parents, and she has a lot of, she has a lot of sexual tendencies that are kind of,
Eddie, you suspect this, why didn't you ask her?
Well, I didn't want to bring it up. I thought it would be a really, really sensitive subject. I actually asked her when we were talking about it on the phone.
So,
but I didn't ask her, have you been abused? I kind of asked her, well, what that was about, and she said that she still didn't want to talk about it. She didn't.
All right.
She couldn't do that.
Well, so you're assuming sexual abuse and
I might just plan on the worst.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do about it. If you're able, if she's able to have stable relationships, then fine. You know, be supportive. But it's the kind of thing that usually requires some kind of treatment, the consequence. But I bet you, it doesn't sound like sexual abuse to me. I mean, that's not that syndrome usually.
Well, look, you guys will go off to college. Don't make any waves. Don't talk too much. Just keep it quiet. Remember to flush the toilet. Don't whiz in the sink. And then don't make any waves. Yes, Drew?
We need Lynette to call back.
I want
to find out about what you're proud
of. I'm mad at her now. She's calling up and then hanging up. She's on hold for 3 minutes.
And then you take it out on me, dude.
What does that mean? Well, you were being sassy. I'm just in a bad mood. All right. Drew, want to go to line 6?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Shanna, who's 23. Shanna,
of course.
Sorry. Hi. I was dating this guy, and he shaved
his pubic hair. Hold on a second.
Hold on.
Isn't Shanna spelled like Sean, and then...
I don't know. Let's see how she spells it.
How would you spell Shanna?
Shana?
What'd I do? Pressed 8 or something?
You hung up on her.
I just punched her up.
Shanna. There we are.
Hi. Okay.
Yeah, but even when you say Shanna, she says Shanna. How do you spell your name?
S-H-A-N-A.
Shanna would be like S-H-U-N-A usually.
They're all different spellings.
Right, Shanna, S-H-U-N-A.
Yeah, how do you spell, if your girl named Sean, how do you spell that?
S-H-A-W-N.
All right.
I guess. I don't know.
All right. You're Shanna.
Okay. You can call me Shanna.
All right. What's up?
All right. I was dating this guy, and he shaved his pubic hair, like everything. And I was sort of wondering, I feel kind of dumb for asking the question because my friends didn't really have any insight how normal that was because I haven't really been with that many guys. So.
How old a guy was this?
He's the same age as me. We were 22 at the time.
Yeah, we would call that not normal, in the sense that most guys don't do that. In my experience, it's sort of an aggressive move to shave a lot of things, whether you're shaving your head or shaving whatever.
It's sort of an expression of aggression,
but it's not off the chart.
It's a goofy guy move.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of creepy.
How old is he?
Well, he's 23 now. He's 22.
All right. And he went for a clean shave.
Yeah, he wasn't a swimmer or anything like that.
Didn't have a bunch of tats or a bunch of piercings or anything?
No, very, very clean cut.
Cut him a break on this one. Let me tell you something. Guys, when they're bored, they just focus on their junk.
Yeah.
And they're like, what can I do? And sometimes, I mean, this is how puppetry of the penis came about. Just a bunch of guys staring at their junk. And then they start tugging on it, and they start putting a flashlight under the balls. And the next thing you know, they're doing Walk the Dog and Cats in the Cradle and Around the World with their nutsack.
Of course.
And by the way, people go out and watch these things, too, and like just a regular crowd. Just like, oh, hey, guys, he's doing something he calls the turtle. Oh, that's wonderful. Look at him. He takes a sack. He pulls it completely over his penis.
Well, puppetry is coming back.
What's up with straight guys going and seeing that kind of stuff? Is this guy tugging on his sack?
It's comedy.
I think it's faggotry. Angela?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I'm going to try to give you the short version of my story. About 2 weeks ago, I went to this hotel party, and it was just my friends and I, and... you know, I had a boyfriend at the time, and by the end of the night, like, I had a couple of drinks. At the end of the night, I asked him to come and pick me up. I asked my boyfriend to come and pick me up. So when he comes and picks me up, he comes inside the hotel, and I'm inside the bathroom naked. What was I doing naked? I have no idea, but I know nothing happened. Like, it was just my...
Are you leaving out the fact that you were naked with somebody in the bathroom?
No. There is nobody in there. It's just by myself.
With your clothes off?
Yes.
Yeah? So what?
So he sees that I'm naked, right? And he's mad. He got mad, and he breaks up with me a couple of days after, right?
All right.
So he's telling me that he can't forgive me, that he doesn't trust me anymore. Yet when he broke up with me, he said that he still wanted to keep seeing me. He still wanted to talk to me. And... lately, ever since that day, like, he's been treating me like crap, but yet when we see each other, he acts like as if we're still together. Like, he still hugs me. He still tells me he loves me and all that. My question is, should I stand by him and let him treat me like this? I mean, is this...
No. I don't understand what you did. You went to a party. You got drunk. You went to a hotel.
He's a controlling guy, and he got freaked out.
What were we doing at the hotel? Whose hotel room was it?
Well, it was just a, just some friends just went to go get it, because it was like kind of like a going away party for my other friend, because she was leaving, and it was just a little kickback, I guess you would say. And,
in a hotel?
Yeah.
Just women there? Just girls?
Yeah. And, no. Well, there was like two guys, but it was one of the girls' boyfriend, and the other guy was the
okay.
Whatever. Well, whatever. He can't tolerate the behavior and the drinking and stuff, and that's him, you know, that's... I don't think
break
this is going
to
work. Yeah.
He wants to break up, you break up.
I don't
you
think
find
this
a good
work.
Guy. Find another guy. Find a better guy. Find a guy who likes finding you naked in strange bathrooms drunk, all right?
Okay.
All right, don't worry about it. Just break up. Right. You don't have to please him. I'm the only one you have to worry about pleasing.
All right.
All right. Good times.
We'll be back.
Thanks.
Well, that's the show. Some highs, some lows.
Yeah, we really ran the gamut tonight, huh?
We really did. We sung the Taboo 2 theme. Actually, all of them. All right. Is it all? Yes, he does. All right, good times, everybody. We'll take ourselves a little break. And so until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
He has it all.
Yes, he does. He knows how to please in every detail.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.